This podcast contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Even if you live in a state in which cannabis is legal, medically or recreationally, I bet you could agree that being able to remove lingering cannabis odors from your home or business is something that you could benefit from as a cannabis user. Today, I wanted to talk to you guys about Centaire. Centaire's new cannabis neutralizer eliminates cannabis odors at the molecular level. Centaire diffusers are very sleek, and they fill your space with vivid fragrance for up to 300 hours, which is really nice. This is a device that you'll be able to set up, and it will run for upwards of a month, depending on how frequently you're keeping it plugged in. The Centaire app also lets you schedule your fragrance and control your intensity right from your phone, which is really nice. And their patented odor neutralizing technology detects odor-causing molecules in the air, bonds with them, and makes them undetectable. So anyone who's used cannabis would be able to agree that even, again, in places where it's legal, being able to remove that scent from your space is, you know, something that you can't really put a price on. Some people don't necessarily love the smell of cannabis. Some people might live in an apartment building. Either way, I'm sure you could agree that being able to neutralize the odor of cannabis is something that you could find extremely beneficial. If that's something that you're looking for, go check out Centaire at centaire.com, and you can use the code CREEPY for an extra 25% off your first order. That's centaire.com, promo code CREEPY. Welcome to the Creepy Cannabis Podcast, where we chat all things creepy, cannabis, true crime, paranormal, and weird. I'm Madeline.
I'm Rachel. I bet no one would have guessed that I had fucking technical difficulties today.
On the verge of mental breakdown.
I like how you're on the verge, which I'm in an active mental breakdown, and I've been in one since 2018. Speaking of which, unintentional segue, before we get into the episode today, we have a sponsor that I'd like to talk to you guys about. So, the project I want to talk to you about is called Future Me. Future Me is a Fast Company production where we are going to join a woman named Emma Whalen as she embarks on an epic year-long journey to conquer her mental health struggles and fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia, for those of you who don't know, is an autoimmune disorder, and I have PCOS, which is mirrors autoimmune, but is not, but a similar vein and a chronic illness that is still a struggle. Mm-hmm. So Emma's going to be diving deep into the cutting edge world of biohacking, and connecting with experts and specialists to uncover the revolutionary secrets of optimal health. So Future Me aims to explore the impact biohacking can have on both your physical and mental health. They'll showcase the most cutting-edge tools and advancements available while highlighting practical and accessible options that anyone can incorporate into their daily lives. So not just stuff for celebrities, you know, some mm-hmm. things, yes, maybe more expensive, but things that are accessible that mm-hmm. we could all kind of try to incorporate. So the hope is that through Emma's personal voyage, we can aim to guide viewers towards tools, techniques, and specialists that may be able to empower them on their own transformative journeys. And what I'll say about that for me is that autoimmune, especially, and chronic illness, it's so individual to the person. And oftentimes you find that something can work for 37 people, but it's just not going to work on person 38. And it's really about learning yourself and learning the different things you can try to incorporate to make sure your individual journey is successful. Mm-hmm. So check it out. It's going to be on YouTube. And I will post, if I can, I'll post the trailer on Instagram. I'll see. That might be something I'm able to do. But if not, I'll make sure to at least post like a picture with the information. Wonderful. Carrying on. Take care of your mental health, people, okay?
Check it out. And today, the strain that I am smoking on.
A shmoking?
It's called Berry Fritter. So this is a hybrid crossed with Berry GPS.
Oh.
An apple fritter, which I've actually talked about apple fritter on its own before.
I do like apple
and fritter. This strain is a very soothing option. Has a very earthy, sweet, and gassy note to it when it comes to the scent. And I've talked about apple fritter before, which is a cross between sour apple and animal cookies, also a hybrid strain. This one is 27% THC, so it's definitely on the higher end.
Oh, you're going to be having a good evening.
And it is really good for anyone who's suffering from insomnia, chronic pain, depression, mood swings, and chronic stress. Also an intentional segue.
I feel singled out. The worst part about all of this is that we're recording over Zoom, and so heretofore... That's a stray Madeline smoking. I am nursing the same pen cartridge from who knows when in the bottom of a purse from probably 2012. Who even knows? No, I'm trying
We're
to
surviving.
Cut back. I'm trying to cut back on flour a little bit, just give myself a little bit of a tolerance break, and, you know, so here we are.
And here we are.
Moving along. Well, you'll have to let us know if it helps with the anxiety I am destined to produce during this recording. I don't know.
So.
Yeah, I don't have any light
This
updates.
One's pretty... Oh, I got LASIK last week.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I can see.
What's it like seeing?
It's a new experience that I haven't had in my memorable past.
Do you feel like you
I mean, obviously I had glasses, so I could see with my glasses, but, like,
to just,
it
like, wake
is
up and
not
open
the
your
same.
Eyes?
It is not the same.
Yeah.
To be able to see.
Do you feel like a pretty bitch?
Yeah, and I went today for a post-op, and I read 2020, every single letter, all the way down to the smallest one, read them all perfectly, and they literally said my eyes are perfect, I can stop with the medicated drops, and, yeah, I have 2020 vision now.
They were like, ma'am, it's a miracle. Yeah. You can see.
He was like, my doctor, he's so funny. He was like, you're normal now. I'm like, I know.
You're like, thanks so much.
I'm like, I can see.
Sorry. Okay, that's all.
So it's weird. Like, if you've ever thought about it, just go do the consultation. And like my place, it's expensive. It was $4,300, but they have a credit option. So 18 months interest free.
Yeah, and honestly, can
back.
You put a price on site?
No.
So, you would
Wrong.
Know. Because I've always been able to see well. Because
you spend several hundred. You spend several hundred on glasses. You get an eye exam every year. I break my glasses all the time.
So,
lose them.
Here's the thing that makes me upset about this whole experience. As your best friend, I should be filled with nothing but joy. But instead, now I can no longer make one of my favorite jokes, which is quoting the interview. Because I like to tell Maddie 24/7, that bitch is blind as a motherfucking bat.
It's me. It used to be me.
Now she can see. Anyway, that's enough. I just, you know, I was like, I feel like there's life we're missing out on updating. And that was it. Carrie, what are we talking about today?
So today we're going more for the weird. And it's mostly because synthetic cannabinoids are everywhere. So you walk into any gas station these days, right? You're going to see Delta 8 carts.
Yes.
You're going to see THCO gummies. You're going to see all these products that you think to yourself, why am I able to buy this in a fucking gas station? Or whatever other goddamn sketchy-ass smoke shop that you've entered and you see all of these products for sale.
And the area we live in, it has a plethora of said establishments.
Right. And so in 2018, funny enough, Donald Trump, the Trump administration in 2018 passed the Farm Bill, which the Farm Bill is what legalized the sale of CBD. It legalized industrialized hemp. So prior to 2018, industrialized hemp was just as illegal as like the cannabis plant. Hemp and the cannabis plant are the exact same plants. However, hemp is a version that has been bred to have less than 0.3% THC per dry weight, like, so it, ounce.
It literally is just the same plant with less mm-hmm. potency?
With less THC.
I genuinely less psychoactive. Know that.
Yes, it's the exact same plant. So the hemp plant is the cannabis plant with less than 0.3% THC per dry weight.
Sometimes you be dropping facts and I'm like, am I dumb? But obviously no, most a lot of people don't know this, yeah.
And so that's why. And so again, CBD, one of the things that you now see all over the place, CBD products, and it's because of the Farm Bill. Like, prior to the Farm Bill, CBD was just as illegal as THC, even though it's not psychoactive at all. It will not get you high. THC is one of the few, if only, natural cannabinoids that get you high. Everything else is non-psychoactive. So okay. CBD, CBN, THC, THCV, all of these cannabinoids are non-psychoactive. They have other benefits.
Okay, so you might see, for example, some of the benefits of, like, pain management. Mm-hmm. Like, I've used
CBN is really CBD. Good for sleep. Okay. Yes. CBD is really good for anxiety. But actually, the interesting thing about CBD that a lot of people don't know is that it neutralizes, not neutralizes, but it minimizes the psychoactivity of THC. So when you're taking a one-to-one, that's 10 milligrams THC and 10 milligrams CBD, it's really going to make it more like 6 or 7 milligrams of THC, just because CBD makes it more difficult for THC to bind at your endocannabinoid receptors.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It minimizes the high.
Okay. I've definitely used, like, topical CBD. I used it, one of my girlfriends actually gave me some because I had, like, it was when I injured my arm, maybe a pulled muscle. And I will say, mm-hmm. I put that on mm-hmm. only twice, and I had a substantial amount of relief. And mm-hmm. I remember being surprised because I'm one of those people who, like, thinks everything is tomfoolery until I do it myself. And it was just, like, literally she cornered me and was like, please trust me.
Well, can you imagine, like, we naturally have in our bodies something called the endocannabinoid system. It's naturally in our bodies. And cannabinoids are in the cannabis plant. Isn't it weird that it's illegal when we literally have a whole system to
process it?
To process these cannabinoids.
My mom used to get so angry because I've said it a million times. I was raised very hardcore Baptist. Like, we be loving the Lord in my house.
The Lord.
Yes, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So anyway. my mom, as a result, is like, my mom's the type of person, God love her, rest her soul. It wasn't a sin that we all had different dads and she popped us out rapid fire like Oprah giving out cars, but it is a sin to smoke the weed. So, but I remember her and my brother would get, my oldest brother's 14 years older than me, so much older, and they used to get into knockdown dragouts about weed, and he would just bust out a Bible verse every time and be like, the Lord giveth every herb for your use. And he was like, the Lord giveth.
To be fair, though.
Are you going to take it away, Donna? We call my mom. By the way, my mom's nickname is Diesel, like Vin Diesel. My brother gave that to her. So you guys are family now. Moving forward, I will be referring to Donna as Diesel, and you better keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Carry on.
Sour Diesel.
Yeah, she is. She's
sour. So... yeah, that's why you see Delta 8 everywhere, even in states with no legal access, whether that be medical or recreational. And it's because these cannabinoids are taken from industrialized hemp plants. So plants that have less than 0.3% THC.
Okay.
Now, Delta 8 is one that people are pretty familiar with. That's pretty regular. THCO is a new one. It's also known as THC acetate ester.
Oh.
And it's a relatively new synthetic cannabinoid that is created via a chemical synthesis, and it does have intoxicating effects. So it will get you high.
Okay.
And unlike naturally derived hemp cannabinoids like Delta 8, which is a naturally derived hemp cannabinoid, THCO is a synthetic derived cannabinoid.
To break it down for, like, layman's, it's a good comparison might be the Delta 8, like you said, that is from the hemp plant, which is physically the same plant. It is a real, mm-hmm. not man-made, not synthetic plant. It just has less of the THC, mm-hmm. which makes it not have the effect of getting you high.
It's just less intoxicating. It has THC in it, and that's how people are getting around and making these products that are intoxicating, is because they're getting it from the THC that is naturally found in the plant. The THC, the Delta 8 and the Delta 9 THC that's naturally found in the plant. However, because of the way that they're chemically synthesizing it, they're taking like a huge amount of plant dry crop to get the same intoxicating effect as, say, a THC heavy plant that you would have to have less dry weight.
Okay.
To get down to a concentrated, very intoxicating product. Just have to use more of it.
Yeah, it reminds me of like synthesized diamonds. Like, they're the same in terms of like your end result is the same in terms of durability, in terms of whatever, but it's just generated specifically versus just naturally occurring and finding it and mining it and whatever. So they're just making it, but they're having to use much more as a result to get it to have the same.
Because there's a lot less effect. Yeah. Right. Okay. So, unlike natural hemp-derived cannabinoids, THCO is not protected in the Farm Bill. Yet, last year, sales of THCO products approached $200 million. Okay, it's not a small industry.
So it's not like they're not sneaking, like, at this point.
Oh, no. No. It just hasn't been made illegal yet.
We've just turned a blind eye. We're like, you know what? Turn the other cheek.
Which is so funny, because just like spice, when I was in high school, canine spice, it was synthetic cannabis, essentially, and it caused people to have seizures, people were ending up in the hospital. They were having long-term mentally debilitating impacts from using this synthetic cannabis-like substance. You smoked it. It was like cannabis. It kind of got you high, but it was completely synthetic. Nobody knew what the fuck it was made from, and yet they're not going out of their way to make laws to make these things illegal very quickly. But THC, they won't budge on. It's a natural cannabinoid.
Because here's the thing. When I be smoking the weed, I'm happy. And they don't want my joy. They don't want my joy.
Yeah. But a lot of places are working to make THCO illegal, because according to the DEA, it can only be obtained synthetically, and that therefore it falls outside the definition of hemp as established in the bill.
Well, that's good, at least that they're like, I guess, starting, but like, I just feel like if it's the other way around, if we're talking about actual cannabis, like, they'll shut that shit down in 2.5 seconds, yet we're talking about this other product, and it's like, when we get to it, we'll get to it.
Yeah, because basically so far, the DEA has not taken any enforcement action when it comes to it. It's just more so they're saying, they're acknowledging its presence, but there's a lot of businesses that are making these products, and they have absolutely no intention of stopping. But like I said, a number of states at the state level are moving to ban hemp-derived intoxicating cannabinoids, which THCO would fall within that, as well as other isomers of THC, including Delta 6 and Delta 10.
But not Delta 8, because Delta 8 is still...
Delta 8 and Delta 9 are naturally occurring. So Delta 9 is what we think of. When we think of THC, that's Delta 9 THC.
Okay.
Delta 8 is a very slight variation of that, but it is found naturally. Delta 6, Delta 10, and THCO are synthetic.
Okay. It's kind of annoying and confusing that they use Delta names for both the synthetic and the non, just because it throws me off.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's rich people problems.
So, obviously, there's a proliferation of new cannabinoids that are entering the market every day. Which makes it very difficult to restrict access to them. And there's a lot of concerns about safety, because really no one knows what's being put in these products. The thing about the war on drugs and why it's always been unsuccessful is that by making drugs illegal, you are not ever going to stop people from using them.
Correct.
The only thing that you've done is make them have to go to a black market to get those drugs. You have no idea what's in it. So just like heroin, like, there are countries, I think Switzerland, don't quote me on that too closely, but there are countries that have programs where they actually wean people off heroin by giving them heroin in doses smaller and smaller and smaller in facilities until they are able to wean them off of the drug.
Yeah, so my brother, both of my older brothers, like, go to clinic to get lower amounts.
And that's methadone.
Yeah, we have too. Addiction in our family pretty bad. And but yeah, honestly, I will say, I mean, I can only speak from my experience, and obviously this is a different type of clinic, but it still reigns true. I have watched my one brother overdose to the point of legitimately I had to call, you know what, I guess there's no time like the present. And this is really important because my brother ended up getting his hands on a wide variety of drugs from various different people because he wasn't able to get the help that he was looking for in the way that he needed. No excuses. My brothers have both struggled with severe drug addiction. My family struggles with mental illness pretty bad. But this is a horror podcast, so the very brief synopsis, my husband and I were living with my mom at the time. I might have even spoken about this before. We were staying with her, saving up for a house, and I literally woke up in the morning to the sound of my mom screaming, the kind of scream where you know someone's dead. I don't know how else to describe it. I was like, okay, someone's dead. It sounded like a mom whose child was dead. And yep. I come running upstairs, and my brother, again, he's 13 years older than me. He was completely gray on the couch with vomit all over his face. Like, I've never seen a person gray. And we ended up stuck on the phone back and forth. Long story short, my mom lives on the county and city line, and they were fighting with my husband on the phone as to if they should send a county or city ambulance. And I just hear him being like, I don't care, just send an ambulance. And just imagine that this is all happening as my mom has not stopped screaming. She never stopped screaming the entire, like, 30 minutes. So finally, because unfortunately I did grow up in a lot of trauma, my response to real traumatic situations is very calm. And so I'm sitting there kind of like observing for a second. And I remembered my ex-best friend, her mom lived right around the corner and she was previously a shock trauma nurse. So I called her and I was like, I don't know what to do. And I'll never forget it. She came into that house.
Had Narcan?
She did not have it because she was not practicing anymore. Unfortunately, I don't want to go into her business, but yeah, she wasn't practicing anymore. She came in and she literally goes, move the fuck out of my way. She kicks the coffee table over. She pulls him onto the floor with so much force, I thought she was going to break his back. So like, but I could tell my brother was like nearly dead. So obviously we were just letting her do what she needed to do. And I remember watching her try to pull his mouth open to give him mouth to mouth, but his mouth was physically stuck shut because he was gone for so long. So she just started giving him CPR, and I remember thinking, like, in the movies, you know, it's so light, his chest was hitting the fucking floor. Like, she was giving it her all, and she was giving him CPR for a solid 30 minutes before they got there, and he was not alive. Like, he was not coming back. And thank God he did ultimately survive, and he ended up on a program like he should have been in the first place. And it's been several years now, and he's doing really, really well. He's actually, like, he's been on the methadone program for so long that he's on, like, the most minimal. But you know what helps him the most? Cannabis. He actually went to a therapist, got his card, and he smokes cannabis in, like, a regimen. So, yeah, it's really important. And, you know, I see a lot of negativity. There's still people that are like, you know, weed is the gateway drug. Like, that's always going to exist.
Dude, I literally listen to podcasts all the time that I, like, love and really like. And
there's
I'm
one
like,
in particular, a true crime one.
And they will say something about weed. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like,
anything. With a person who is not working on themselves and is not healthy can be dangerous. No one is saying
that. Of course.
It's just like drinking. But to me, you know, I see a lot of negativity specifically around drug abuse. And obviously I have a different perspective because of my family.
It's a lot of misunderstanding about how the plant works.
It's a misunderstanding about just, I've seen a lot of people fucking giggling over weed. And I've seen people genuinely overdosing over drugs that are cut, drugs that they have to get off the streets, you know, from Tom, Dick, or fucking Harry. And that's why this is more so speaking to what you were talking about in terms of, like, stop making things illegal that only affect the person, to me. Like, give them access.
Well, more importantly, if you make it illegal, you are now making it 10 times more dangerous than it was in the first place.
Yes, because it's getting, my brother was getting things that were cut with who knows fucking what.
Right.
But
exactly like these synthetic cannabinoids.
So he's going to keep getting it. That's the point. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's frustrating and it's hard to see, and especially because my
it pushes people to more unsafe options, of which cannabis obviously has side effects. I'm not telling you that you're not going to experience any side effects, depending on what medication you're on, depending on if you have a heart condition, depending on if your family is prone to schizophrenia or other mental illness, because there actually is an association between individuals having an earlier onset of schizophrenic symptoms when they use cannabis in their youth. And that's because the endocannabinoid system, it interacts with a lot of the same, like, at the molecular level, it interacts with a lot of the same things that people with schizophrenia experience. So it has been known to onset those symptoms earlier, but it's people who are already prone to the disease. It's not like smoking weed will cause schizophrenia.
It's not causing schizophrenia, but if you have a predisposition,
correlation. Correlation, not causation.
Just knowing that, you know, like I said, we've talked so much about mental health on here. Just knowing that I can go to a dispensary where it is safe and I can get a product that I know what is in my product, that I know if I have a bad response to something, it's not because I have to worry what's been put
into my
product. Right. It is that, okay, maybe this isn't the best strain for me. Maybe this isn't the right time, you know, X, Y, or Z. So that's kind of more the point. You need a safe place for people to go, because people are going to go no matter what. So why not provide safe resources? And why not also, I just wish there was more information too. Like, there's so much that you're talking about today that I've literally never even heard of. Like, I wouldn't even know.
Well, cannabis is unique, because the only reason that cannabis is illegal and is as illegal in the sense of a Schedule One narcotic as it is completely racist.
Yeah.
Its history is completely and utterly based in racism and discrimination.
Even
and
down to the
U.S.
name.
Government. Absolutely. Marijuana.
Which I didn't know until you told me.
But, so cannabis is unique because really, if you think about it, to be told our entire lives, I was told it in my DARE program, cannabis and heroin are the same. Schedule One. The definition of Schedule One is that there's one, no accepted medical use in the United States, and two, that it is highly addictive. That's the definition for Schedule One.
Really?
Yes. So 50% of it, which you could probably, like, anyone could argue that weed could be addictive in the sense that, like, it's a habitual act that I want to engage in.
Correct.
And it's not like if I stopped or had to go somewhere for, like, I went to Europe and didn't have it because I was in Europe, you know, you can't bring it with you. Other than Amsterdam. I smoked a lot of weed in Amsterdam. But
don't be a liar, though, because I just blow it up in Amsterdam.
Like, I'm not gonna go sell myself on the street corner to get a joint.
Correct. Like, that's a really good way to put it, because, and for the sake of transparency, I actually was just telling my husband the other day, I was like, when I say I feel, like, addicted, or, like, I use the term, like, a tolerance break a lot, for me, it's more so not an addiction to the cannabis itself, it's
just easy. Like drinking coffee.
It's
everyone.
Easy.
There's people who wake up every single day and they have to drink a Diet Coke. That's addiction.
And
that's addiction.
That's what.
Just like anything else.
Yeah. So Sean and I talked about that a lot. And I said, he said, so what's that look like for you? Like, what's an important thing for you? And I said, for me, I need to be able to put it down and not think about it and not have to worry about it. And I have always been able to do that. So I can only speak from my personal experience. But I can tell you, as a person who as closely could be considered addictive or have an addictive personality, that's me. I tend to lean on things that are crutches that help me avoid my mental health issues. And I still can walk away from cannabis and do what I need to do. When I have my goddaughter, I do not smoke at all. I just simply don't. And you know, sometimes I'll have her several days. She calls me mom. Like, she'd be living over here sometimes. And I don't smoke at all when I work. And I've never had an issue with that. So I can only speak for me. now am I like, can't wait to get home and unwind
and smoke a joint? Yeah. Hell yeah! Just like people want to go home and drink a beer.
But am I gonna like slap and that's okay for it? Fuck no.
No. But anyway, so okay, 50% of it, the definition, could apply. The other 50% is that there's no accepted medical use in the United States. Tell me then why 37 states have medical cannabis programs.
Not 37.
37 out of 50. Babe, make that math make sense. 37, the majority of states have medical cannabis programs, so the definition does not apply.
Correct.
It says no accepted medical use in the United States. 37 states
and accept it as a medical. And not even just in the United States, but majority of the United States.
Yes.
But as you said, it wouldn't matter. The numbers are never going to matter because the root is racist.
So to tell children that heroin and cannabis are the same, if somebody smokes a joint, they're going to think to themselves, oh, I should try heroin.
Yeah.
It's probably not too bad.
Because I did, you know, I didn't even think about that perspective, Maddie, this entire time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't even
think
about it.
The first, it's like, you're telling people that they are the same, that they have no accepted medical use, that they're highly addictive. So if someone's going to try cannabis and realize like, oh, it just like made me laugh and I eat Cheetos with my friends, and somebody then later offers them heroin at a party, why would they say no?
And again, you're circling back to the same underlying problem as well. Even if you just take the fact that it's heroin off the table, again, you know you didn't get it from any type of fucking heroin dispensary. You're probably laced with something. Like, you're, you know, but you're right. I didn't even think about that correlation. You know, I'm 35 almost, and I forget being a teenager and how malleable and susceptible I was. And
oh, yeah.
I kind of went the reverse. I never smoked because, again, addiction in my family. But I would hear all those things, and I was like, well, if I smoke weed, I'm going to end up like my brother. Like, I'm going to end up like that. And so I just never did. And then it wasn't actually – it was like 2 years ago I started smoking. I remember I was plagued with severe migraines for like a week. And I remember finally one day, Maddie was still living here, and I texted her one morning and said, please, I need something. It won't go away. I was throwing up when I was standing up. And you brought me maybe like a tiny, tiny little bit of something, maybe. I don't even know. It might have been like a puff of your joint that you had. And I was like, I need to talk to my doctor about this because I can't. I can't go on like this. And, you know me. I was very against it. Like, we did the podcast for years.
I know. Year,
and I was like, At least. And here's the thing. It's cool if you guys don't want to do it, too. That's also totally, totally chill.
Absolutely.
And I didn't want to. And I didn't make the decision out of any peer pressure. I made it out of a choice after exploring a lot of medical options that weren't working for me. And then I went about it the right way. And I got, you know, in contact with my doctor. And I did what I needed to do. But I had a safe way to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm also a white woman. So.
Yeah. Makes it easier. So, obviously, there's a pretty big rift between, like, legal cannabis businesses, licensed cannabis businesses, like the one that I work for, and these unregulated hemp businesses that have no oversight, no one testing their products or checking their test results. You know what I mean? Like, we have to have everything to a T approved, down to, like, if it's not testing right, it's getting wasted.
Yeah.
You're not selling that. So...
Maddie works in the industry as well, for those of you who don't know. So she went to school, has a lot of educational background, but also physical application as well. And so she knows a lot about the process of these things.
Yes. And yeah, so like just to get a little bit more into the chemistry behind it. So like I said, both Delta 8 and Delta 9 exist naturally in the hemp plant. But chemically induced offshoots are manufactured via chemical conversions in a lab, so typically through the extraction of Delta 8 or the conversion of CBD. This chemical conversion process can leave the product, the end product, with high level of impurities, as well as like other compounds whose safety like we just don't know about. It hasn't been tested, it's just not known. There are several non-psychoactive cannabinoids that are common in the cannabis plant, like I said before, and that's CBD, CBG, CBN, THCA even, and they're obviously sold in legal marketplaces, and you're going to see that in flower breakdowns and not really edibles. A lot of times edibles are just distilled THC concentrates in a sense, so you're not going to see like a large variety of different cannabinoids.
In live resin
you will more so, because they flash freeze the cannabis right after harvesting, and it maintains a lot of the natural cannabinoids and terpenes of the plant.
Okay, so they essentially, like you said, flash freeze.
Yeah, right. Live resin, it's flash frozen right after harvest. Distillate, if you're seeing like a cartridge that is a distillate, it's just distilled down to THC, basically.
Okay.
Just THC. The only thing you're going to find in there is THC.
Okay.
It's not THC and CBD and CBN, and there's no entourage effect. It's not a bunch of cannabinoids working together. It's just THC. It's just the cannabinoid that gets you high.
Now, is that, like, if I was, like, a person who didn't know anything, because I kind of don't, is that what, like, dabbing is? Is that, like, a more concentrated version, or is that, like, a different thing altogether?
So what I'm talking about is cartridges.
Okay, so like
distillate in a cartridge. Yes. Yeah, so you're gonna get distillate and you're gonna get live resin.
Okay.
Live resin is flash frozen and it maintains the natural terpenes and the natural cannabinoids.
Okay.
Distillate is distilled just down to the THC, and then sometimes they add back natural or botanical terpenes, but they add that into it.
Do they look the same presenting? It would just be like what's listed as what type it is. Okay.
Yes. Yep. Live resin or just like a basic cartridge.
For those of you who can't see, I was showing Maddie, I have like a Select kind of brand pen, and it's just got
that,
like,
is
amber color.
That's probably just their distillate.
Yeah. So I was just curious, like I said, I'm genuinely interested because I don't know this stuff, so.
But obviously, again, these synthetic isomers of Delta 9 are pretty much unregulated. A lot of states are trying to ban them because they are like becoming multi-billion-dollar markets. And the legalization of hemp production nationwide eventually led to, obviously, these intoxicating cannabinoids being derived from hemp.
Okay.
State officials and other health and other, excuse me, I am literally so high. State officials. State officials and others cite health concerns about, these Delta 8 THC gummies. And states like Connecticut, Utah, Virginia are among the states that are really trying to crack down on the production of these derivatives. 14 states have actually outlawed Delta 8, and the feds have basically avoided the issue altogether.
What a shocker.
Which is amazing and hilarious, because, like, I don't understand why you have such a drive to keep, like, these naturally derived products illegal, and you have no intention or interest in going after the synthetic variant of that drug that is significantly more dangerous to users. So you're allowing a more dangerous product to be legal and outlawing the safer alternative.
I unfortunately don't feel like the majority of the government has ever had the people at the forefront of their concerns. So I'm sure there's some.
No, they also don't understand cannabis. They don't understand cannabis. They don't understand what synthetic cannabinoids are.
And I don't anticipate them taking any time to ever understand or care enough. It's just...
No, which is why lobbying and advocacy in the cannabis industry is really important. And just trying to get in front of people and really, like, explain this stuff. Because a lot of times people see it as very simple, you know, in pop culture and media, it's very, very much simplified. Indica sativa hybrid, which honestly doesn't really exist. Like, I say these things when I'm discussing the strains, and sure, that's fun and all, but, like, when it gets down to it, the genetics have become so varied at this point that it's not, there's no such thing as a true indica, a true sativa. Like, it's all a hybrid.
It's more like
mix
a marketing type of way to present it. Yeah, I can see it.
But
at the end of the day, you know, it's about ignorance is bliss, right? So I have decided as a human, like, I'm really trying to live far less ignorant. I'm trying to learn a lot more. I'm trying to broaden my perspective. And for me, that's one of the reasons I love even doing this podcast. Like, yeah, we talk about a lot of gruesome things, but we've talked about some, a lot of issues like this. We haven't held back too much. Like, I mean, I went ham on the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. You're going ham. We should really go ham on the world, because fuck this whole place. But
it's true.
It's educational, and it's a conversation, I think, that doesn't really come up. And, you know, we get, like, sex ed in school, and we get, like, these, like you said, what were the talks called when we were, I don't even remember what they're called.
Dare
talks.
Dare to resist drugs and alcohol.
I went to private school, so we didn't have to do any of that shit. So they were, oh, just, my, like, God. They were like, the Lord will burn you alive if you do it. So it was kind of, oh, like, God. That
instead. It was separate fear.
But I feel like, especially when you're talking about something as important as, you know, putting anything into your body, I've never heard a conversation like this. I don't have regular access to this kind of information without, like, you know, I wouldn't even know what to Google or what I'm looking at. And so I'm mm-hmm. really glad you chose to. It's very interesting.
But yeah, so there are some studies that are linking THCO acetate with the potential to trigger lung complications. And a lot of times this is also associated with just vaping in general, because if you're not using safe equipment, like safe vaporizing equipment, you could get heavy metals that you're breathing in and, you know, all these other things that can cause lung complications in general.
Yeah, my nephew had to stop
vaping. So that's kind of a risk.
Yeah, he was having a really hard time with, like, specifically black, like, mucus. And mm-hmm. they were like, you need to stop vaping. And he smokes flower all the time and he doesn't get those issues from that. So it was very mm-hmm. clear that it was from his vape pen and his situation.
Yeah, and inhaled harmful additives, typically found in unlicensed vape products, can cause shortness of breath, fever, chills, coughing, vomiting, headaches, dizziness, rapid heart rate, chest pains. I mean, a lot of people have died. So it's definitely serious. And these carts can be bought online. When THCO is heated, it can produce something called ketene, which is a toxicant linked to e-cigarette or vaping, also something, you know, that can be caused from that and cause lung injury and lung illness. So the study, which was published in December, came at the end of a banner year for THCO products, which accounted for 8% of sales last year in the emerging cannabinoid market, or roughly $188 million.
Is that all?
Yeah. So, obviously, in California, Normal actually issued a consumer warning about THCO because it obviously has not been tested for safety, like... We just don't know the long-term effect of synthetic cannabinoids, because just like any synthetic version of a drug, you're just not sure without doing research and studying it what the long-term effects are going to be.
Yeah.
And if it's not being regulated, then people are going to add, you know, random fucking shit into their batches, you know, just like filler, just like people cutting cocaine with baby powder. Like, there's no regulation over it. Nobody's really telling them or testing their products, so they're going to stretch it to make sure that they can make more money. Like,
yeah, unfortunately, at the end of the day, money is always going to be a priority over the health of the citizens, at least of the United States, for sure. And so, yeah, you're just creating more avenues, more ways to have these workarounds, to put people in dangerous situations where they don't have access to everything that's going into their products. And mm-hmm. it's unfortunate, but at the same time, all we can do is educate.
So, yeah, there's also several other emerging psychoactive cannabinoids that, you know, obviously haven't been tested or anything like that. And that includes THCP, THCH, THCB, HHC, and Delta 10, like I said. And again, it's weird because Delta 9 is the safe, naturally occurring THC molecule, delta 9. And delta 10 is a synthetic variant. So you have to be careful. You have to be very careful. Delta 8 and delta 9 are found naturally. Delta 8 in really, 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 in much smaller quantities. And that's why it's found more in like the hemp plant, where delta 9 is kind of been bred out.
Yeah, I have a couple close friends that get delta 8 from their local place, and they've talked to me about it before, that one in particular, but that's really the only one I had ever heard of.
And not to say that the delta 8 that you get at your, like the delta 8 gummies and all that that you get at the gas station are safe. They're really not. Yeah. It's not because it's delta 8, it's because of all the other additives as well. Yeah. And then now they have these other products that are just completely synthetic, like THCO.
Yeah. So it's like, regardless, they can still be caught with whatever whatever mm-hmm. happened to them, but like the base is natural versus synthetic.
Right. And it's just like, we could, just legalize cannabis and have normal, naturally occurring cannabinoids.
No. Because they're trying to put the cancer in us all the time, and they can't be doing that if we're getting the natural shit.
No, they
gotta put this in the synthetic shit.
They be doing that.
Yeah, I know. I can't even eat Cheez-Its no more. There's so much cancer-causing shit and everything. I can't even breathe air sometimes. I'm like, oh no, that was a cancer breath.
I'm upset. Like, but that's all I've got today.
Oh, is that all? Well, you know what? I really liked this one. This was a nice change of pace from some of the gore and the heavy stuff we did last week last episode. So, but still, it's just wild to me. It's just wild that we're fighting so
it's crazy.
Fucking hard to be like, mm-hmm. no, not this. You can, however, unalive yourself with 4,000 other products mm-hmm. that came from anywhere off the streets.
Or how about this antidepressant that may cause depression and suicidal thoughts?
I told you.
Like the ad that you see all the time on fucking TV.
I'm usually very open, with no shame. But I just had, a legitimate, psychosis episode from Zoloft.
It's scary.
Lost myself. Had a whole episode, and I've been on this medication before. I've had various similar situations, and then went off, trusted, tried again, and I said, absolutely the fuck not, because this bitch mm-hmm. went crazy. I literally was like, and I'm not saying, I apologize, crazy is derogatory. I'm talking about myself in a joking manner, but you're not crazy for needing medication. You're not crazy if Zoloft works for you. I think we're trying to accomplish is the understanding that you need to advocate for yourself, because no one's going to care about you as much as you do. And unfortunately, as a society, the concern is not the citizen. The concern is the money oftentimes. And so having education like this allows you to make well-informed decisions about how you proceed with your life, how you choose to educate your kids, the conversations you have around cannabis and other drugs that need to be had, and addiction as a whole, and addictive tendencies and things like that. But you're right. Mm-hmm. They'll put you right on a medication that will cause you to want to self-harm. And they're like, well, mm-hmm. let's keep raising the dose. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. If you want to literally have a munchie attack and laugh with your husband, you're a piece of shit.
Yep. Absolutely. A detriment to society.
So. Well, we're out here doing the Lord's work, okay? The real Jesus. The Jesus that made the herb. And turned that water into wine. What do you think this man woke up and was like, you know what we should do? We should turn some water into wine and get crunk for mm-hmm. the afternoon.
There was weed there. Faux show.
This man knew he was going to be on this earth for a set amount of time. He was like, I'm here for a good time. Not a long time.
Not a long time.
I gotta get sacrificed at the end of this shit, okay? We're drinking some wine and smoking some weed. Yeah. I don't know if Jesus spoke to me. Don't quote me on that. I wasn't there.
Don't quote me on that.
don't quote me. I wasn't there. Well, I'm going into a hypermanic episode, so I should probably just get out of here.
That's fair enough.
Well, thank you very much for educating us. And thank you guys for listening. And don't forget to check out Future Me.
On YouTube.
Because I said so. Okay. Okay, bye.